Matthew chapter 7. Let's begin reading in verse 7. Ask and it shall be given you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and he that knocketh it shall be opened. Or what man is there of you whom if his son asks bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he give him a serpent? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good things to them that ask him? Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the privilege to talk to the God of the universe, who you are. And we thank you, Lord, for the promise that you give us, that if we ask, you we will receive. And I pray that we might be people who ask. Help us to realize the importance of asking tonight. And I pray that you might help us to ask even more, because we've learned that you want us to do that. Bless your people. Thank you for their testimonies. Thank you for your watch care over us and for your provisions every day. We pray that you give enablement now to bring these thoughts from the Word of God. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. It's really an amazing thing when you think about it that the God of the universe, who is all-powerful, all-knowing, everywhere present, I mean, you just can't use enough adjectives to describe God and His greatness. But to think that the God of the universe would tell us that He wants us to ask Him for things. He has all resources, all ability, and yet He tells us He wants us to ask Him for what we need. Matthew 21, verse 22 says, "All things whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer, believing, ye shall receive." John 14, verse 13, And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do. If ye ask anything in my name, I will do it. John 15, verse 7, "If ye abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you." Now notice, if you abide in me and my words abide in you. There's another passage that says, you know, if we ask according to His will, we have to keep that in mind. God's not going to give you something that's out of His will. But if we abide in the Lord and we ask according to His will, He promises that He will give us. John 16, verse 24, "Ask and ye shall receive." James chapter 4, verse 2, "Ye have not because ye ask not." 1 John chapter 5, verse 14, "If we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. We know that we have the petitions that we desired of Him." So over and over in the Scripture, God tells us to ask. We are His children. He loves us. He has everything we need. And He says, "I want you to ask." And so God has made it so that He actually instituted prayer. He's the one who gave us the right to pray by sending Jesus to die for us and making us worthy, accepted in Him, so that we can pray. And He tells us that He wants us to ask Him things. Now, tonight I want us to look at this whole concept of asking and see what asking does. Just asking the Lord, what it does for us. First of all, we find in the Scripture, I think, evidence for the fact that asking God enables us to know God. You think about it, you know, if you never ask God for anything, then you don't get to know God like He really is. You won't find out that He's a God who cares for you and He will provide your needs. He's a God who is all-powerful and can give you things that you thought were impossible or solve problems that you thought were impossible to solve, and He solves them. You never find that out unless you ask Him and He returns answers to you and you find out, this came from God. So you actually get to know God. There's an Old Testament passage that tells us that. If you'll turn with me to 2 Chronicles chapter 33. It takes a very unlikely guy to tell us this lesson. He was probably the most wicked king that lived as king of Judah. Judah had a lot of good kings and some bad ones, and he was the worst one of them. 2 Chronicles chapter 33. I want to read to you what kind of guy he was. Now, Kings tells us, doesn't tell us anything good about him, just tells us all the bad about him. But we'll start off by telling how bad he was, and then he makes a change, and notice what happens. Look at 2 Chronicles 33. 2 Chronicles 33, the king's name is Manasseh. Manasseh was 12 years old when he began to reign. He reigned 55 years in Jerusalem. He did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord, likened to the abominations of the heathen, whom the Lord cast out before the children of Israel. For he built again the high places which Hezekiah his father had broken down. He reared up altars for Balaam, and made groves, and worshipped all the hosts of heaven, and served them. Also he built altars in the house of the Lord, whereof the Lord had said, In Jerusalem shall my name be forever. He built altars for the host of heaven in the two courts of the house of the Lord. All this is bad. He's worshiping false gods. And he caused his children to pass through the fire. That means he sacrificed some of his kids in the fire to the false god, to the fire in the valley of the son of Hinnom. Also he observed times and used enchantments and used witchcraft and dealt with a familiar spirit and with wizards. He brought much evil in the sight of the Lord to provoke him to anger. He set a carved image, the idol which he had made in the house of God, of which God had said to David and to Solomon his son, In this house and in Jerusalem, which I have chosen before all the tribes of Israel, will I put my name forever. Neither will I any more remove the foot of Israel from out of the land which I have appointed for your fathers, so that they will take heed to do that I have commanded them according to the whole law and statutes and the ordinances of the hand of Moses. So Manasseh made Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem to err, notice this, and to do worse than the heathen. I mean, he led them to be so bad they were worse than the heathen that God had driven out of the land, whom the Lord had destroyed before the children of Israel. And the Lord spake to Manasseh and to his people, but they would not hearken. Wherefore the Lord brought upon the captains of the hosts of the king of Assyria, which took Manasseh among the thorns, and bound him with fetters and carried him to Babylon. Thorns, some believe, were like hooks, and they would hook them in their nose and lead them off. And so Manasseh was taken by the enemy down into Babylon. And when he was in affliction, he besought the Lord his God. Notice the change. All of a sudden, he changes abruptly. He realized how bad he's been. He sought the Lord God. He humbled himself greatly before the Lord God of his fathers and prayed unto him, and he was entreated of him, and he heard his supplication and brought him again to Jerusalem into his kingdom. Then Manasseh knew that the Lord, he was God. He was a terrible guy, the worst king of Judah. And yet God brought great affliction upon him. He was carried off captive into Babylon. He was humbled, and he humbled himself, and he cried out to God, and he forsook his evil, evidently, and he actually turned to God. And it says, in turning to God, he asked the Lord. Then Manasseh knew that the Lord, he was God. So in asking, he found out what God was like. Before, he was worshiping all these false gods, and God brought him to his senses, and he cried out to God, and he asked, and God showed him what kind of God he was. You know, I imagine if Manasseh truly repented, if he truly knew the Lord after all this, and went to heaven someday, I mean, later he goes to heaven. In those days, you know, they didn't go directly to heaven if they knew the Lord. Can you imagine the story he would tell of how that he came to know God when he cried out to God for mercy, and he found out he was a merciful God, and God gave him another chance. He went back and he took away, verse 15, he took away the strange gods and the idol out of the house of the Lord and all the altars that he had built in the mount of the house of the Lord and Jerusalem and cast them out of the city, and he repaired the altar of the Lord and sacrificed thereon peace offerings and thank offerings, and commanded Judah to serve the Lord God of Israel. And so Manasseh finally turned to the Lord, and he learned about God. And he says, now the rest of the acts of Manasseh and his prayer unto his God, and the words of the seers that spake to him in the name of the Lord God of Israel, behold, they are written in the book of the kings of Israel. And so he prayed to God, and he learned what God was like. And so asking God enables us to know God. Now, none of us are like Manasseh. None of us have committed sins like Manasseh. But all of us are sinners, and we've been saved by the grace of God. And we find out things about God when we pray and we ask Him. We found out when we call unto Him for salvation that He was a gracious God and He saved us. We find out that when we call unto Him to help us, that He's a God who's willing to help. And He cares about us. And He cares about meeting our needs. We find out all that about God by calling unto Him and asking Him. Also, asking enables us to know something else, and that is, it enables us to know God's peace. The Bible says in Philippians chapter 4, if you'll turn there with me, it's a very familiar passage, verses 6 and 7. It says, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God." Now, your requests made known unto God, that's asking. Asking God. And He says, be careful for nothing. Don't worry about anything, but in everything. So don't worry about anything, but pray about everything. And in praying about everything, we make our requests known to God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, should keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. God is a God of peace. He never worries about anything. Daniel says it like this in the let me make sure I got Daniel here. Daniel chapter 4, verse 35. "And all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing, and He doeth according to His will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth, and none can stay His hand or say unto Him, what doest thou?" That's the kind of God we serve. He's a God who's in charge. He doesn't worry. God is always at peace. I really believe that. There's no disruption in God's heart and that He's worried about anything. God's always at peace. And it's the peace of God that God gives us when we ask. We make our request known to the Lord, knowing that He can give us what we need, and we trust Him, and He gives us the peace of God that passes all understanding. And so asking enables you to know God's peace. John chapter 14, verse 27 says, "My peace I give unto you." So God has peace. And He says, "I want to give peace to you." And you get it by asking Him, by calling upon Him, and He gives you His peace. "My peace I give unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." And so the Lord says in Isaiah, you remember that passage, you've probably heard it many times, Isaiah 26:3, it says, "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee." And when we're praying, when we're asking, when we're talking to the Lord, we're thinking about Him. And God says, "I will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on me." If you're not at peace, maybe you're not asking enough. Maybe you're not talking to God enough. And so God's asking the Lord will enable us to enjoy His peace, to know His peace. It also will enable us to experience God's joy. The Bible says in John 16, verse 24, "Ask and ye shall receive, that your joy may be full." God wants to give us joy. A joyful Christian is an asking Christian, a praying Christian, a person who's talking to the Lord about their problems. The Bible says in Psalm 16, verse 11, "In thy presence is fullness of joy." Just as God is a God of peace, He's also a God of joy. And God wants us to experience His character. God wants us to experience His peace. God wants us to experience His joy. And He says that comes by asking. "Ask and you shall receive, that your joy may be full." So talking to God about your problems will help you have joy. There's many a person, I'm sure that all of us are included in this, has gone through times when we are troubled on every side and we're worried sick. And then we stop and realize, oh, wait a minute, I really haven't been talking to God about this. Maybe I've been on the phone talking to a friend. Maybe I talked to a neighbor. Maybe I talked to my brother or sister or mom or dad or something like that. But have I talked to God about it? And we're all in an uproar because we talk to people. But many times we fail to talk to God. God says, ask and ye shall receive that your joy may be full. It's joyful to know that God's answered your prayer. It's joyful to know that you've asked things and God has provided for you. And you know there's a peace there that comes. And the result of that peace is joy. Jesus came that we might have life, the Scripture says, and that we might have it more abundantly. And prayer helps us to experience that abundant life of knowing the Lord, being at peace with Him, and having His joy in our hearts. Another thing that asking does, it enables us to receive God's supplies, what we need. I imagine most of us do more of that asking or that praying than anything. There's a book written by John I. Rice. I don't think it's exactly right, but it's a great book. And he makes the argument, it's been years since I read it, but he makes the argument that prayer is asking. Prayer is always asking. I don't think prayer is always asking, but the Lord wants us to ask and we receive. So there's a lot of forms of prayer, I believe. There's worship, there's thanks, there's just talking to God about problems that we face, and sometimes there's asking. But it's a great thing to know that God says if you ask, you shall receive. So asking enables us to receive God's supply. And so God has much to supply us with, and we need to ask Him to receive that. James 1, verse 17 says, every good gift and every perfect gift comes down from above, from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. You want something good in your life? God's the one that has it. He has everything that's good, and all good gifts come from Him. And so the Lord says, if you'll ask, you can receive. Many times we fret, many times we save, many times we bargain, many times we make maneuvers in our life to get what we want. And God says, what you need to do is to ask. God has all we need, and all we need to do to receive that is to ask. Look at Philippians chapter 4. We were there just a minute ago, but look at verse 19. I'm sure you're familiar with this verse. He says in verse 19, but my God shall supply all your need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. My God shall supply all your need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Now, the context we need to understand, and that is these Philippians were good people who were obeying the Lord, and they were helping Paul. They were working in the Lord's vineyard, serving Him. And God says, my God shall supply all your need. As I've said on other occasions, you know, this is not a blank check, this verse. It's not a blank check for just anybody who claims to know Christ to say, God supplies all my needs. And He's promised to supply all my needs. No, God talks about Philippians who are serving the Lord. And He says, my God will supply all your needs. And God will supply all the needs of people who follow Him and serve Him and love Him and pray. But there are people who know the Lord who don't receive what they need because they don't ask. So the way we get what we need, our supply, is that we ask. Ye have not because ye ask not, James 4, chapter 4 says. But also He says, sometimes you ask, but you ask amiss that you may consume it upon your own lust. So you ask for the wrong reasons, just because it's something you lustfully want or something you desire. It has no connection with serving the Lord or living for Him or pleasing Him. It's just something you want and you want to consume it upon your lust. So sometimes we ask for those things and don't get them. There's a person in the Bible who's maybe an unusual person to illustrate this point, but his name is Samson. Take your Bibles and turn with me to Judges chapter 15. Samson wasn't the greatest guy, as you know. He was one of the judges, and he was blessed by God with unusual strength, and at times wisdom, but usually not wisdom. But Samson was a man who fought. And he fought a battle against the Philistines. Look at Judges chapter 15, verse 18. And he was sore athirst after he had taken a donkey's jawbone and killed 1,000 men with it. And he got a great victory because God gave him strength to do it. Just took a piece of bone, and with that he just slung it probably and started killing these men who were after him, the enemy. And so he cast it down and says, and he was sore athirst, and he called on the Lord and said, Thou hast given this great deliverance into the hand of thy servant. And now shall I die for thirst and fall into the hand of the uncircumcised? But God clave an hollow place that was in the jaw, and there came water thereout. Now talk about an unusual place. I would never expect to get a water to drink out of the jawbone of a donkey. You know, one that's thrown, that's a dry one that had been used as an instrument for war. And you throw it down on the ground, and he calls out to God and says, God, I'm thirsty. You've given me deliverance. But I'm thirsty, and I'm so thirsty that I'm going to be weakened and the enemy's going to come in. And he says, and God clave in a hollow place that was in the jaw, and there came water thereout. And when he had drunk, his spirit came again, he revived. Wherefore he called the name thereof in Hakkor, which is in Lehi unto this day. And he judged Israel in the days of the Philistines 20 years. That word that he called this jawbone, from which the Lord gave water, is the spring of the caller. The spring of the caller. God, I ask, and you gave, in a very unlikely place. Sometimes, you know, we doubt the Lord. We ask that He will give us something, or He'll answer our prayer, and it seems so unlikely that it would happen. And maybe it comes from an unlikely source, but that's what God does. God uses unlikely things to bring a great supply to us, and maybe unlikely people to bless us. But God is able. Many times we go through barren and dry times in our lives, and which are called to, we call that to remembrance, and we think about how God supplied for us, and what we had to do is just to cry out to God, and we did, and God answered. Psalm 120, verse 1 says, In my distress, I called unto the Lord, and He heard me. In my distress, I called unto the Lord, and He heard me. Psalm 3, I cried unto the Lord with my voice, and He heard me out of His holy hill. Psalm 30, verse 2, O Lord my God, I cried unto Thee, and Thou hast healed me. Psalm 138, verse 3, In the day when I cried, Thou answered me, and strengthened me with strength in my soul. Jonah, chapter 2, verse 2, I cried by reason of mine affliction unto the Lord, and He heard me. Now, you remember Jonah's affliction. He was in the belly of a whale, and a very unlikely place to be delivered from, but he cried unto God. Jeremiah 33, verse 3 says, Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. I don't know what you might be going through. I know some of the problems that people have in our congregation. I know some of the heartaches that you have. But I don't in any way know all of them, but God does. And God says, you have a problem, you also have a problem solver. And His name is God. And He says, call. You ask. Come to me and ask. Call unto me and I will answer thee. So asking enables us to get God's supply. But then also asking enables us to know God's wisdom. Have you ever asked for something and you didn't get it? And then later you realize, oh, I'm sure glad God didn't give me what I want. Well, it taught us wisdom. It teaches us that God knows more than we do. And you know, the Lord is the source of wisdom. Solomon was a great king, of course. And you remember in the beginning of his reign, he had this dream. And God asked him in that dream, it says, ask me something and I'll give it to you. And Solomon said, I ask for you wisdom. And God gave him wisdom. Now, wisdom comes from God. But it came after Solomon asked the Lord. You know, sometimes we go through times we don't know what to do. We don't know which way to turn. We don't know how to answer somebody. We don't know what to do. So where do we get wisdom? Wisdom comes from God. And Solomon prayed to the Lord and asked for wisdom. Let's look at some description of Solomon's wisdom. Turn your Bibles to 1 Kings chapter 4. 1 Kings chapter 4, verse 29. And God gave Solomon wisdom and understanding exceeding much and largeness of heart, even as the sand is on the seashore. And Solomon's wisdom excelled the wisdom of all the children of the east country and all the wisdom of Egypt. For he was wiser than all men, than Ethan the Ezrahite, and Heman, and Chalcol, and Darda, and the sons of Mahol. And his fame was in all nations round about. And he spake 3,000 proverbs, and his songs were 1,005. And he spake of trees, from the cedar tree that is Lebanon, even to the hyssop that springeth out of the well. He spake also of beasts, and fowl, and creeping things, and of fishes. And there came of all people to hear the wisdom of Solomon, for all the kings of the earth, which had heard of his wisdom. God wants to give us wisdom. We won't be like Solomon, I imagine. There's no way we'll be like that. But God wants you to have wisdom in your situation, in your particular part of this world that you live in, and this particular time that you inhabit. God wants you to be a person of wisdom. And God wants you to be known as that. God wants you to be known as a person that someone can come to and talk to you, and they'll get answers. And they'll get some practical wisdom. Is that possible for you to have that? Yes, it is. Because God says He's the one that gives wisdom. God is all wise, and He gives wisdom. God is a great God, and He gives us what we need. So asking enables us to know God. Asking enables us to know God's peace. Asking enables us to know God's joy. Asking enables us to know God's supply. And asking enables us to know God's wisdom. Sometimes God's wisdom is seen in us, in answering us, by not giving us what we want. Sometimes we're greatly disappointed. But God always knows what He's doing. So if you've asked the Lord and there's no answer has come, the Lord is saying no, or not yet, or God is saying wait, trust me. But it's always this, trust the Lord. He knows what He's doing. He makes no mistake. Someone wrote this and I copied it down. One day we shall gratefully see that God's greatest refusals were sometimes the truest answers to our prayers. And that's often true, because God is wise. We have a great God, and that great God of the universe says, child, will you ask me? I mean, I tell you to do it. Will you ask me? And maybe you need to take your problem to the Lord and ask Him, and He will give you an answer. Let's pray. Father, thank You today that You reminded us that You are a God of all wisdom. You're a God of all peace. And Lord, You're a God that's powerful. And You're able to do anything that needs to be done. There's nobody like You. And I pray, Lord, that we might realize we have a great privilege to go to You in prayer. We have a great privilege to talk to the God of the universe and to ask You to help us. And we ask You, Lord, tonight that You would help us to be the people You want us to be. And the persons that You want us to be to our neighbors, to to our friends. Help us to have the wisdom that only You can give. Help us to have the compassion that only You can show. Help us to have the love, Lord, that only You are able to give to us. Help us, Lord, to be a people who know You because we ask, we pray, and we talk to You. God, make us a praying people, and we'll thank You in Jesus' name.